Those of you that were here last week, I'm sure realize by now that we're back in the very same chapter of the Bible that we were last week. In fact, we're back in the very same story, the same parable that we were last week, the story of the prodigal son. That story of a father that had two sons, and the younger comes to him and says, "Dad, I'd like my part of the inheritance." And back in Bible days, the firstborn got a double portion. So if a man had two sons, the youngest son was entitled to a third. The oldest got a double portion, so he would get two-thirds. So this young man in this parable was entitled to a third. And the father gave him his inheritance. And the Bible says he went into a far country. And those of you that were here last week, that's what I preached on. Into a far country. And I made 5 points. I said, number one, we go into a far country when we get the eye disease. When we want to be God in our lives, when we want to decide what we should do with our lives, when we want to be our own boss, we go into a far country. My second point was that the far country is always worse than where we are now. It may look better, it may look more appealing, it may look more desirable, but it's always worse than where we are now. My third point was that some people that go into a far country can't come back. There's some people that leave home, as in this young man's case, and leave the place where God has them. They cannot get back to that place. But my fourth point was, we do have the chance to come back. And my fifth point was, we get to choose whether we want to come back or not. So this young man went into a far country. The Bible says he wasted his living or his inheritance on riotous living. A famine came and he began to be in want. He was poor. He didn't have any place to live. He didn't have anything to eat. He didn't have any money to buy clothes. And the Bible says he joined himself to a citizen of that far country. And the only job that he could get was feeding the swine, feeding the pigs, which for a Jewish boy was like the gutter. I mean, you couldn't go any further, couldn't go any lower than feeding swine. And the Bible says, as Adam read a moment ago, that he came to himself. And he said this, "Hey, I realize that back home, even my servants have it better than I've got it here. I'm going to go back home and I'm going to tell my daddy, I'm going to say, 'Father, I am no longer worthy to be a son. All I want to be is a servant. Just make me one of your servants.'" And so he goes home. And the Bible says that his dad, a long way off, saw him coming. He ran to him and he had compassion on him and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And my text this morning, what I want to draw your attention to is verse 22, where the Bible says, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him.'" And this morning I want to preach on the subject, put on him the robe. Put on him the robe. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for another opportunity to be in this place and to proclaim the name of Christ. I pray that you'd help me this morning. I pray you'd help us. I pray that we would get everything that you've prepared for us this morning. I believe that every single person in this room can leave a little bit different this morning because we've been in this place and the Holy Spirit has had a chance to speak to us and remind us of what we have in Christ and to convict those that don't know Jesus as their Savior what they could have if they so chose. And so I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to each one of us. Have your way in our life. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, again, I have 5 points. I want you to notice 4 things. I want you to notice, first of all, that this boy was dirty. He was dirty. He'd just come out of the hog pen. And you that know anything about pigs or hogs know that hogs are one of the dirtiest animals that there are. I mean, they like to get in the mud. And they like to root around in that mud. And a pig or a hog or a swine, whatever you want to call them, is the happiest when they are just caked full of dirt and mud. And there's a hole with water and mud. And they can just get in there and roll around and have that stuff caked all over them. And hogs stink. I remember when Debbie and I first started going together, her uncle had a pig farm down in Tennessee. And I remember the first time that I went and stayed with him on my way to visit her. And I spent the night, and I always like to do different things. I always like to try something I haven't tried. So I got up early with him because I was going to go out and slop the hogs, feed the hogs with them. I'd never done that before. And he said, sure, you can go with me. Be glad to have you. So we got up, and he gave me a big pair of rubber boots. He said, you need to put these on. And we went out, and I'll tell you what, as we approached the pig pen, the hog sty, whatever you want to call it, there was a unique odor that wafted to my nostrils from that place. Something that I had never smelled before. And I thought to myself, I eat this stuff. Bacon, ham, pork chops. But I tell you, there's just a unique odor that a hog has. And there's just no nice way to say it. They stink. Just stink. And I tell you what, it's the nature of a hog to be dirty and stink. I mean, it's his nature. You can take a hog and you can take him out and hose him off and wash every bit of mud and get every speck of dirt off of him. And you can tie a nice ribbon around their neck and maybe, you know, pierce their ear and even put an earring in their ear. Do you know what that hog will do the moment you turn its back on him? He'll go right back to the mud and the hog pen, and he'll just roll around in that mud and roll around in that dirt, and he'll just get as dirty as he can. Doesn't matter if you just gave him a bath. Doesn't matter if he's got a pretty ribbon around his neck or an earring in his ear or earring in his nose. Doesn't matter. His nature is to be dirty. His nature is to stink. You can't... You can't stay in the hog pen very long without stinking. And that's where this boy came from. Not only did he just come out of the hog pen, you add to that the journey home. I don't know how far away from that far country he had to come back home, but I do know that he didn't take a Greyhound bus. He didn't get on a Northwest plane, nor did he get in his Chevy and drive back home. He walked, and it was a dirt road. In that part of the world, it's hot. And so, not only did he have the filth of the hog pen, not only did he have the stench of the hog pen, but he had the dust and the dirt that came from making a long, hot journey on foot. This boy was dirty. We know from reading the story that he didn't have money to stop by the Holiday Inn and take a shower. Now, he might have stopped by a river or a creek on the way from the far country to home and wash himself off, but I'll remind you, he had to put on the same dirty clothes. When he got home, he was dirty and he stank. And I'll point out to you this morning that it doesn't matter how much time that we spent in the shower or the tub this morning. It doesn't matter how much we sprayed or splashed on ourselves to try to make us smell better. Our sins make us dirty and filthy and stinky in the sight of God. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible talks about our sins being scarlet and red. And it later says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags in God's sight. You see, we as human beings, we have no ground to stand on to strut our righteousness. We have no basis in which to say to God that we're good. We have no basis to say like that Pharisee did that Jesus told the parable over in the New Testament as he sort of patted himself on the chest and patted himself on the back. Dear God, I think I'm a good guy. I tithe and I go to synagogue and I do the things that are right. And he pointed to a Pharisee that was in the back of the temple and he says, I'm sure glad I'm not like him. I'm sure glad that I'm good. You see, we have no right to do that because our sins in God's sight makes us just as dirty and just as filthy as this boy was. Just as stinky. And so our sins make us dirty in the sight of God. Number two, I want to point out to you that the Father loved him in spite of the filth. Now, if you just let this second point get a hold of you, you'll go out of this place rejoicing this morning. The Father loved him in spite of the filth. We read in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, this is a wonderful verse. I mean, I could stay in this verse and I could preach 4 or 5 sermons from this verse. This verse implies that the Father was looking for him. I mean, it implies that just one day the father, just by coincidence, went out on the front porch and looked in the place where his son left and saw him. It doesn't imply that. What it implies is that every day that boy was gone, dad was out on the front porch looking for him. And what a wonderful truth that is. We have a father in heaven. We have a God in heaven that looks for us. We have a God in heaven that keeps his eye on us every single moment of every single day. It's not, I mean, and again, I can't spend too much time on any one thing, and that's not my message, but there's some richness in this verse. God is looking for us. It also tells us that all we have to do is turn around and head toward God, and he'll do the rest. I mean, I was thinking about that when Brother Dick sang his song, just the mention of his name. All we have to do if we're a sinner is turn around and turn toward God, and he'll, just like this father, run to us. And he says, I'll do the rest. All you had to do was decide. You don't have to do anything else. You just turn toward me. I'll take care of the rest. It tells us what we do, what God will do if we'll turn toward him. It tells us. But the thing I want you to notice from that verse this morning is this. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I want you to get the picture in your mind. I want you to think about what we just talked about, how this boy was dirty. He'd just come out of the hog pen. He had the stench of the hog pen on him. He had the mud and the filthiness of the hog pen on him. He had the dust of the travel, of the sweat of the travel. He smelled like a stinking pig. But when daddy saw him, it didn't matter what he smelled like. It didn't matter how much dirt he had caked onto his face and onto his hands and onto his feet. It didn't matter that he didn't smell like Chanel number 5, but he smelled like pig number 2. It didn't matter. When daddy saw him coming, I want you to get the picture. When daddy saw him coming, he ran to him. He threw his arms around him. He fell on his neck. He began to kiss him on his neck and on his face. It didn't matter that he was caked with mud. It didn't matter that he was dirty. He had a dad that loved him in spite of the dirt. Let's go downtown this morning. Downtown Flint. And let's go to where there are some homeless people. And let's find a homeless person that hasn't had a bath for 3 or 4 weeks. Let's find a homeless person that hasn't changed their clothes for 3 or 4 weeks. And let's make it worse. Let's find an alcoholic who, when we go up to him, smells a little bit like alcohol and a little bit like vomit. Get that picture in your mind. Most of us would not be willing to shake that person's hand. But you let that person be a wayward boy, a wayward son, or a wayward daughter that you as a mom or dad haven't seen for months, that you've gotten down on your knees and prayed for every single day, who've wondered every single day, are they alive or are they dead? And I want to tell you something. It won't matter what they look like. It won't matter how dirty they are. It won't matter how bad they smell. Most moms and most dads would do the same thing that the father did in this story. They would run to that child. They would throw their arms around them. And they would shower them with kisses. Now, what I want you to understand this morning is that's exactly what God did to us. That's exactly what God did to us. When we were in the filth of our sin, when we were in the dirtiness of our sin, when in God's sight we were as the filthy leopard rag that had a leopard used to dry up all the pus from his open sores and threw it in the dirt, and it was caked with pus and blood and dirt. And God says, hey, all your righteousnesses, all the goodnesses that you have to offer to me, they're just like that filthy rag. When we were in that condition, when we were like a stinking, dirty, rotten pig, God says, I love you. And he proved his love to us. It tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning that in spite of the filth that's in our life because of our sin, we have a Father in heaven that loves us. Point number three that I want you to notice: the father in this parable didn't ask the boy to clean himself up. He didn't say, hey, son, I want you to go take a bath. I want you to go take a shower. I want you to go jump in the lake. I want you to take some soap, and I want you to scrub yourself all over. I want you to take some shampoo, and I want you to wash your hair. I want you to put on some Right Guard. I want you to shave and splash all spice, Old Spice, all over you. You smell like a pig. We got to get the stink off of you. You're dirty. You've got to get cleaned up. I'm glad there's no place in this story where Daddy says, go take a bath. I mean, it might have happened later, but it didn't happen in the part that God put in the Bible. God said, look, this father says, I'm going to take you just like you are. I'm going to take you filth and all. I'm going to love you in spite of the filth, in spite of the stink. I'm going to love you. You can come just like you are. And I'm glad that we have a God that says the same thing to each of us. I'm glad we don't have a God that says, hey, you go out and clean yourself up, turn over a new leaf, and start doing right, and then you can come to me. He doesn't say, hey, go join the church and be a regular member of that church, and then you can come to me. I'm glad we got a God that says you can come just like you are. Dirt and all, filth and all, stinking all, and I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. God says, whosoever will may come. That's an invitation to not only the cleanest person that's alive, but also to the dirtiest person that's alive. And as we talked about in Sunday school, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It matters to God what you're like on the inside. It matters to God, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Whosoever will may come. That includes the filthiest and the foulest and the stinkiest. Paul wrote in the book of Timothy, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said, I'm the worst sinner who ever lived. And Jesus came to die for me. And I told the folks in Sunday school this morning, if we could ever get to that point in our life where we realize what a sinner we were, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes so much more meaningful to us when we realize that we are just like this boy. Our life before Christ, we were in the pig pen. And in God's sight, we're dirty and we're filthy and we stink. And in spite of that, he loves us. And when we come, he doesn't say, hey, go take a bath. Go clean up your life. Go turn away from all your sin. Quit your smoking. Quit your drinking. Quit taking drugs. Now, all that stuff will happen because when he saves us, he gives us a new life. But that's not a condition of salvation. I'm glad it's not. We can come just like we are, and God will love us in spite of our filth, in spite of our dirt. Jesus said in the New Testament, he said, I haven't come to, he said, well, people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I haven't come to call righteous people to repentance. I've come to call sinners. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm glad we can come to our Father just like this boy came to his dad. And he'll love us in spite of our filth. I want you to know this, number four, that the Father covered up the dirt and the filth with the robe. Boy, this is where it gets good. With the robe. But the Father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Not just any ordinary robe. Not just the everyday robe, but the best robe. This was a robe that was saved for special company. This was a robe that was saved for honored guests. And when the servants put that robe on the boy, you couldn't see the dirt and the filth anymore. What you saw was the cleanness of the robe. You didn't see the mud that was caked from the pig pen. You didn't see the dust that was caked on him from the journey. What you saw was the cleanness of the robe. And I want to tell you this morning, that's exactly what God does for us. When we come to Jesus Christ, we are dressed in his righteousness. You see, I hate to bust anybody's bubble this morning, and I don't want to do that. But I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, your preacher is still a sinner. I'm still a sinner. I mean, if you could throw open my heart this morning, you could see some things that are in there that shouldn't be there. And I've done some things this week. When I was in the middle of them, I knew I shouldn't have done them. And there were a lot more things I knew I should have done that I didn't. So when I got saved, God just didn't wave a magic wand and say, poof, all your sins are gone. They're still there. But you know what? When God looked at me this week, he didn't see the things in my heart that shouldn't have been there. When he looked at me this week, he didn't see the things I was doing that I shouldn't have been doing. He didn't see the things I should have done and that I didn't. When God looked at me this week, you know what he saw? He saw the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He saw the righteousness of the one who went to Calvary for me. He saw the righteousness of one who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He saw the righteousness of his only begotten Son. We sing it every time we sing that song, The Solid Rock. The last verse goes like this. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. I'm glad when I go to heaven and I stand before the throne of God, God will not judge me for my sins. When he looks at me, he will see the righteousness of his Son. Number five, the boy submitted to his father and let the servants dress him in the robe. Will you let him do that to you this morning? Will you? You that are here that don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, will you let the Father put the robe of righteousness on you? You see, there's nothing we can do to take care of our sins. And I know some of you may be here this morning and say, hey, preacher, I'm not much of a sinner. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't take drugs, I don't do any of those things that you're talking about this morning. And by the way, I didn't do any of those things this week either. I just want you to know. Clear up any misconceptions that you might have. But you might say, hey, I'm not a bad sinner. And it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. You can be pure and you can be clean. You can be more. You can be the best person that's ever lived on the face of this earth. But like we talked about in Sunday school, you're still a sinner because that's how you were born. That's how you were born. And there's only one thing that's going to fix it in God's sight. And that's to let him put the robe of righteousness on you. Say, how do I get that robe of righteousness? Very simple. You tell God that you know you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't measure yourself by me. Measure yourself by Jesus. You measure yourself by me, you're probably going to come up better. But you measure yourself by Jesus, and you have to say like that verse, I've come far short of his glory. Realize there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But then realize that when Christ went to Calvary, he died for none of his sins because he had none. He died for all of yours and all of mine. And the Bible says, in answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? It says in several different places, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Basically, it's real simple. I mean, if I could illustrate it this morning like I have several times before, here I am, I'm a sinner. You can see all my sin. God can see all my sin. When I come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But I believe when you died for me, you paid the price for my sin. What God says to the servants is, put the robe on them. Let's cover up all that sin. Because when I look at them, when God looks at me, all I want to see is Jesus' righteousness. And that's exactly what he'll do to every single person here this morning that will believe on Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today, you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, would you do it this morning? Will you simply say, as a matter of will, as a matter of your will, I'm going to trust Christ. The Bible says it's not of works. We talked about it in Sunday school. There's nothing I can do to work out my salvation with God. I'm a sinner and I deserve hell. Period. End of quote. That's it. And unless God had intervened with Jesus Christ dying for me, I'd be in hell this morning, and so would every single person in this room. But in spite of our sin, God loved us, and he sent his son to die in our place. And what I'm asking you to do this morning, if you've never done it before, is to believe him. Believe on him. Trust him to make you right with God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the simple, simple truth that's in this book. It's a wonderful truth. A marvelous truth. You loved us even when we were sinners, and you sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins. I pray for that person that might be here this morning, Father, that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They never in faith believed in him that he could do what he promised. And I pray, Father, that right now, at this very moment, they would see their sin, they would see the penalty that they owe, and they would receive Jesus and the price that he paid for their sin. Father, I pray for Christians this morning. I think of that song that says, I love to tell the story to those who know it best, for they seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Every time I think about what you did for me, it makes me want to do better. It makes me want to be a better servant. And I pray you would challenge the Christians in this room this morning to want to be better, because they've heard once again the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Bless the invitation, Father. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.